2. Jonah chapter 2. You know, some of y'all were asking me about how things went in Edgewood, because you know I've tried out there recently. And things went pretty well. They went kind of like I expected them to, although one guy told me something I did not expect. Because, you know, whenever we have class or preach or whatever, the preacher normally tells a joke. And whether it's funny or whether it's not, people usually give you that pity laugh, you know. Just maybe like that one. And so I told a joke. And, you know, people kind of, they laugh, they humored me. And this one fellow comes up afterwards, he said, "I don't know about your sense of humor, but that was a good lesson." And just wrecked me right there. So I'll try to cut back on the jokes. You know, I may tell one or two every then, because I'm just a goofy guy, but I thought that was fairly interesting. Jonah chapter 2. You know, there are some times whenever we see these Bible books, and we hear them since the time we're about this tall, and we think we know everything about them. Because we can sum them up from beginning to end. The accounts that come to mind are Daniel. We know basically what happens to Daniel from his childhood all until the way he gets to be an old man. We can tell you his story pretty accurately. And so in our minds sometimes we think, well, we've mastered this, we're good. Job is the same way, where we can tell the story, we know the account, we know what happens. And sometimes that might lure us into a false sense of thinking we know everything there is to know and avoiding the book altogether. And Jonah is similar, in where we know the story, we know the account, we know what happens. But there are a few interesting things to know about Jonah. And with the Bible, we know there's always more to learn. There's always more to know about God and his character. And there's always more we can learn. So tonight, we want to talk about Jonah. And the book of Jonah is all about mercy. Specifically, the mercy of God. And now he shows mercy not only on his people, which at that time was Israel, but also to the non-Israelites, to the pagans, to the unbelievers. And specifically, we're talking about the Ninevites. And sometimes, when we see the mercy of God, we react in different ways. When it happened to him, Jonah was very thankful for the mercy of God. And then whenever he saw God was willing to extend his mercy to non-Israelites, he became very angry. And his tune changed a whole lot. And so let's look in Jonah chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we see Jonah's reaction of God's mercy upon himself. Jonah chapter 2, beginning in verse 6 and moving to verse 9. "I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up from the pit. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." And keep in mind, this is when he was in the belly of the fish. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." There's a statement to hold on to. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When things were going tough, that's who I turned my focus to. God is who my strength is. He's my refuge in time of trouble. "And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Verse 8, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah was thankful for that, at least for himself. And then in chapter 3, as we said, when he sees the Ninevites and how God says, "Go preach this message of repentance to them so that they might be saved," Jonah doesn't want to. Jonah doesn't want them to be saved. Jonah doesn't like them. Jonah is displeased with the mercy of God. Turn to the last verse of Jonah chapter 3. And here when we're thinking of Jonah chapter 3, this is right after Jonah preached his 8-word message to Nineveh of repentance. Verse 10, "Then God saw their works," the works of Nineveh, "that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Chapter 4 and verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry." Angry that God could show mercy on these pagans. That God was willing to forgive them, and he was willing to spare them. "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. And I didn't want you to spare these people. I didn't want your mercy, not for them. I don't like your mercy upon them. It doesn't suit me, and so I'm angry with you, God. Why did you do this? Why are you merciful on these non-believers, these cruel people? And one of the things about Jonah is it's very difficult to understand the book without having some idea of who the Assyrians were. And the Assyrians, at that time, were world power, and they were known for their cruelty. They were known for flaying people alive, for dismembering people, for deporting people, and other hideous acts of cruelty. And at that time, they were Israel's biggest threat. And eventually, they would take the 10 tribes of northern Israel into captivity about 100, 200 years in the future. And so we can see why Jonah wouldn't like them, why he wouldn't want them to be saved. He saw the works they did. He was disgusted. And he saw the mercy God had on them. And he was angry. He didn't understand. He didn't get it. He failed to understand just how merciful God is, even though intellectually he knew. This is who you are. You're merciful. You're gracious. And because of that, you're willing to spare these people. He didn't want it. And there are times, maybe for us, when we see the mercy of God being poured out on someone we think who is wholly undeserving. And we have a similar reaction. We question God. We wonder, God, how could you be merciful on this person? I heard a story a while back that whenever Jeffrey Dahmer had gotten caught from that killing spree that he was on and doing all the heinous things that he did, that eventually in prison, someone convinced him to become a Christian. Could you imagine the mercy it took to do that? Could you imagine the things that he did and viewing this person as a human being? And the things they did disgust you, maybe to the point where you hate that person. You think, God, I don't want you to save him. He's vile. And yet the nature of God becomes more clear through his mercy. That he's willing to save anyone and everyone who would be faithful to him. And there may be times whenever someone has done something horrible to us and we hate them for it and we don't want them saved, and God's mercy makes us angry. It doesn't sit well with us. But there are some things we need to remember. Specifically, that God's been merciful to us. When we think about how merciful God has been to us, it helps us to not only accept his mercy for what it is, impartial, perfect, but it helps us to be more merciful people. Ephesians chapter 2 paints a beautiful picture of mercy, especially as it speaks to us as believers who have been saved in Christ. And when we think of Ephesians, what we're talking about, at least what Paul is talking about, he's speaking about the church to the church. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, we're dealing with the idea of reconciliation, transformation, who we used to be as opposed to who we are now. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verse 1 through 7. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits who now work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves. That includes you and that includes me. In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy, he tells us who he is. He shows us who he is. He's merciful because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Even when we were sinners, even when we were unlovely, God extended his love and his mercy followed. Made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, verse 6. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God was willing to forgive us. He was willing to look past our faults. And in this passage, we really see highlighted the mercy of God himself. And of course, we think to ourselves, well, if God is merciful, if God is compassionate, then that follows that Christ, who is also God, is merciful as well. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, we see that very thing, the compassion of our Lord Jesus. And in Mark 6 and verse 34, what we have is this picture of the multitudes who have been following Jesus, and they're tired. They're scattered. They're like sheep who have no shepherd. And then we see the mercy come in when the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. He saw them, and his inclination was to be compassionate, was to be merciful. And notice what he did. Notice how compassion, notice how mercy acts. It teaches. He saw they had a need. He saw they need to be taught. There are things about God, there are things about himself that they needed to know. And his mercy can be seen in his teaching. And though Jonah was hesitant to teach the Ninevites in his 8-word sermon, that was exactly what they needed to hear. They needed to hear this message of repentance because they weren't right. As much as they may not have wanted to hear it, that's what they needed. And there's a very important lesson that we can learn from all this. It's that mercy teaches. And it can teach in several ways. It can teach simply by your example. When people see the things they do, that you do, they can learn some things. When they hear the things that you say, they can learn. Or we can teach in the traditional way where we sit down, we talk to them, and we walk them through the scripture. Just like Philip walked the Ethiopian eunuch through the scriptures. Mercy teaches. Christ was merciful, and so he taught. We should also be merciful and be willing to teach. And then you ask this question, well, why do we want to show mercy? And my mind goes back to a verse in Hosea 6 and verse 6, where God says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Now, is sacrifice necessary? Absolutely. Is it required? Absolutely. There's a place for it. But what does God value? What does he desire? Mercy. In all of its forms, in whatever way that it may come. Jonah didn't align himself to where he wanted what God wanted. And in his anger, he said, no, I don't want your mercy. I don't like your mercy. But we understand it's something that we need to have because we're striving to be pleasing to God. When we consider the compassionate and the merciful nature of God, and the nature of Christ, it'll help us to be more merciful. And teaching our fellow man is one of the ways in which we can show that mercy. And so from this lesson, there's two things I want you to understand. The need to be merciful in whatever way it might follow. And the need to be thankful for God's mercy in whatever way it may manifest itself. And that's one of the things that we often struggle with is, or at least me, is knowing that God is merciful. Knowing that he's compassionate and taking that for granted. Not giving him the proper thanks it's due because, well, he's God. That's what he's supposed to do, right? This is what you're here for, to forgive me. Failing to see, he doesn't owe me that. I didn't earn that. It's because of who he is that he extends this to me, because of how good he is, how gracious he is, how merciful he is. And how loving he is that he extends this my way. And that he extends this your way. In our prayer, sometimes I think it'd do us good to thank God for his mercy. That his mercy has allowed us to see this day. That his mercy has allowed me to see the last 24 years. That his mercy allowed me to preach at Edgewood. Because it's by his mercy we're sustained. And it's by his mercy that we strive and continue and live like we do. And so, tonight, as we close, I want to recap real quick. That God is merciful. He desires mercy. He wants it. And he wants us to show it and to be content with his mercy in whatever way it may manifest itself. And also to be thankful for that mercy. To not take it for granted, but to praise him forevermore, recognizing who he is. Perfect, compassionate, and merciful. And Titus makes it rather clear. It's not by the works that we have done. Nothing righteous that we have done earned this. Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but because of who he is. But we still have things to do. Faith is our part. Grace is God's part. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 makes that rather clear. You're saved by grace through faith. And when you express your faith, it will lead you to do things. Of course, remembering that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. And without that faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it is impossible to please God. And so what your faith will do, when you follow the evidence where it leads you, you'll hear the message. And then you'll believe it. And you'll believe it with biblical belief, which leads you to further action. It leads you to repent of your sins, to recognize that you're living a life that's contrary to the nature of God and you need to change. Then it'll lead you to believe that Jesus is his son and confess his name before many witnesses. And then be baptized in that watery grave of baptism, and from then on you live a faithful life, continuing to show mercy because of the great mercy that God showed you. Maybe you're not a member. You follow those simple steps, the Lord himself will add you to his very church. Or maybe you just want prayers. You realize you haven't been as merciful as you need to be. You haven't been as thankful to God for his mercy as you ought to be. All things are ready. Won't you come as we stand and sing this?